Hare Krishna. It's Monday, and the weekend fair, or Bhuchu, has concluded very favorably. The only thing that was unfavorable was the extraordinarily favorable weather. Had it been a little cooler, then we could have probably hit our target of 10,000 guests as it is. We came quite a bit short of it, about 6,500. But it was a great atmosphere. And just when the weather is so warm and so pleasant, people want to enjoy themselves. Lake Balaton is within sight of New Brijadam. And people rather swim and boat and whatever else they do out there rather than come and frisk being a little excessively warm over here. Anyway, it was very, very good. And this morning gave class to a temple room full of quite tired devotees because they're really, really working out from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. In terms of preparation and serving, and then there was pre-preparation and setting up and taking down. A lot of work involved, but the devotees really did a wonderful job. And the class this morning, we're continuing Uddhava Gita, and this was the 14th verse of the 7th chapter. And Uddhava is speaking, and he refers to Krishna by different names, such as Yogeshwara, Yogasambhava, and explaining how Krishna is the knowledge of the yoga systems, the presiding deity of yoga. He's the empowerment or the result that comes from practicing yoga, and so on. And when I was reading over the verse and explanations before class, then it came to me how the yoga system that's structured in Vedic literature is such that whatever someone is attached to, be it karma or gyan or hatha yoga, ultimately it's meant to bring them to devotional service. Because people are taught according to their level of attraction. They're taught certainly to accept Vedic literature. They're taught to accept Brahmins, to accept Guru, that there's a superior authority, although they may not be always very clear what that is. They accept certain type of regimen, that detachment, sense control, whether it be for a purpose of restricted sense gratification, whether it be for purpose of liberation, or what is most common nowadays, to learn different types of asanas. Of course, people nowadays don't acquire any type of siddhis, which just shows how sort of low grade or low quality their yoga is. But ultimately, by some good fortune, people will come in contact with Vaishnavas, and by coming in contact with the complete absolute truth, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of a Vaishnava, then all of these pieces will fit into place that they've learned from their yoga studies, and they become real candidates for bhakti yoga. So I posed the question in class, why is it that the yoga practitioners who believe in some kind of karma or reincarnation and do asanas and have a familiarity with India culture, how come for the most part they become the most unsubmissive people or most difficult people to give Krishna consciousness to? That's not just necessarily my experience, but in my discussion with people who do, for instance, kirtan yoga at different yoga ashrams with devotees who try to preach to yoga students, unless those yoga students are taught by a devotee. And there are many examples where devotees actually teach yoga. So therefore, their introduction to yoga is already connected to Krishna consciousness in some way or another, whether directly or indirectly. For instance, at our Bhakti College, it's just based on Bhagavad Gita. It's very, can't hide the fact they're right next door to the Hare Krishna temple. So there's no question of not knowing that yoga means Krishna. But unless people are properly taught by a Vaishnav, when they're taught by, I can't even call them Mayavadis, because at least Mayavadis have got a semblance of self-control, education, they know Shastra, although they may disagree with a conclusion. But just complete hocus-pocus, witch doctors, people who don't really have any real desire to benefit anyone other than an easy way to make money. And with the advertisement that you're going to stay slim and you're going to have good sex life and you're going to look good, or that this is going to, at most, but it's very rare, help you control your mind. It's a means of income. It's a means of livelihood for yoga teachers. And people then become filled with all kinds of misinformation, whereby they become poisoned. They become really misled from what the goal of life is. They're not on the progressive yoga ladder, as Srila Prabhupada calls it in Bhagavad Gita. At least they're not going up the ladder, they're going down the ladder. And they become then poisoned. So, yes, I know it all. All paths lead to the same place. It becomes extremely, extremely difficult to break through that wall of know it all, and I'm also there. And these people may even chant, and they may chant Hare Krishna, but often their conception of chanting Hare Krishna is to be Krishna, since they already are Krishna, and so many other foolish thoughts. Of course, that doesn't mean to say that it's impossible to reach these people, and there is certainly a certain element of common ground. But the element of common ground could be more like a battleground rather than actually some kind of nice, peaceful area where you can really make each other understood. So yes, it's Kali Yuga. And should we be surprised? Should we be surprised that yoga is contaminated when we know that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, immediately Bhakti Yoga was an excuse for illicit sex life, intoxication, and a host of other type of debauched activities, so much so that repeatedly, not just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but again, after Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's time, up to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, it became something that people stayed away from. No one had any respect in Bhakti Yoga, in Vaishnavism. So if that can happen to Vaishnavism, why won't it happen to other yoga systems? And it does, it has. Evam parampara praptam. Where is that yoga system that really has a yoga? It's not even, which even has a parampara, the cyclic succession. It's not even a consideration. Yoga is something you just get a yoga book, or you go to some yoga teacher, what his particular line is, who his guru is, does he have a disciplic succession that's traceable, that's authentic, that follows authentic procedures, that's either taught in Patanjali Yoga Sutra or some other yoga line. And of course, people are not learning detachment, sense control. At most, they're learning some gymnastics, which requires to sit in a place and regulating their breathing. But that type of exercise, swimmers do in order to swim fast, weightlifters do some type of exercises, all types of athletes do. It's not any kind of extraordinary credit that anyone can lay claim to, that, oh, I practice yoga, therefore I'm something better than someone else. So it's not easy. Finally, we talked about devotees were asking questions. Well, should we preach or how do we preach? Like we preach with so many other people, we try to find some common ground, some little pinhole where we can actually come in and communicate with the person whom we're talking to, and hope that yes, by their chanting Hare Krishna, that they chant Hare Krishna with the right frame of mind, by the strength of the holy name, by the association of Vaishnavas, then that their familiarity with yogic culture, which also includes us, becomes an asset rather than a liability, and helps them ultimately come to the goal of yoga. Yoginam apisarvesham swaravan bhajate yomam. That they'll develop faith in Krishna and they'll end up doing bhajan, and in that way they'll become Vaishnavas, and then yes, then the yoga will have had some value. But it wasn't because of the yoga that they became Vaishnavas. It's because of the association of Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.